The Boise State Public Radio app. News, music, and more.
Idaho Matters.
Morning Edition.
All things considered.
The Connector.
And more.
And more.
You can take us wherever you go and stay connected. Without it, you're missing out. Download it free.
You can also communicate using the Talk to Us tab.
The Boise State Public Radio app.
You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. Currently, Idaho law allows for faith healing to be an exemption to our medical neglect law. And many people believe this law should be changed. In fact, there is a group called Campaign to Protect Idaho Kids that's been working for a number of years to change that law. And later this week, the organization will be hosting a panel discussion on this issue. And two of those panelists will be Boise Chief of Police Mike Masterson and Canyon County Sheriff Kieran Donahue. And they are both joining us live in studio to talk more about this. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So first, for people who may not be aware of how this law works, Sheriff Donahue, can you just give us a brief description of, this is truly an exemption.
Yes, it's under a religious exemption, so to speak, religious shield in the state of Idaho. And so basically, if a person or a group of people like this group here that we have primarily in Canyon County claim that it's their religion, it's their faith that they do not seek medical attention for their children, or even themselves, but specifically children in this case, then they're exempt from our law to make sure that children are taken care of. The best example we give is if law enforcement is called to a place, whether it's a home or a hospital or what have you, where a child is in imminent danger, is perceived to be in imminent danger due to a medical condition or neglect, then we as law enforcement have the ability to contact child services, health and welfare, and that child can be taken into protective custody while medical attention is addressed for the child. That's really a blanket across the state of Idaho. However, in these cases, we do not have that ability. We're barred at the door, so to speak. And I say that, you know, in a theoretical sense where you can't come in, you're not going to see our child. We are exempt. We don't believe in this. It's against our religion. So our hands are tied at that mm-hmm. moment, and not just our hands, but the prosecuting attorney's hands as well.
And you mentioned a particular or religious organization called the Followers of Christ. They do have a large contingent in Canyon County. But Chief Masterson, in Boise and in Ada County, do we see this here as well?
We don't see the exact religious organization in Ada County, but Boise has had its experiences with this law. And generally what happens is, parents will report to a hospital. There'll be something that needs to be done in terms of exigent circumstances with that child. And in our case, officers had to make a determination based on the physician's recommendation that there had to be medical treatment to prolong that young person's life or to prevent them from having a disability. So what we have to do in those circumstances is to take the child, declare imminent danger, where we take the child into protective custody. And, you know, if we have time, we can go to a judge and ask for a judicial review of that. That generally takes a long time. But in some circumstances, in one, we had a case where we had to make that determination in an instant. And it lived with us for 10 years in terms of lawsuits until the full Court of Appeals for the Ninth Circuit ruled in favor of the officers and the doctor. So what we would like to see is a change in the law that would allow for the reporting. And if there is an issue with parental rights and religious beliefs versus the best interest of the child, let's take time to get it before a judge and have a judge do the review instead of police officers making these decisions in a moment's notice.
And we are only one of six states that have an exemption like this on the books.
Right. Right.
And our neighbors to the west, Oregon.
Yeah.
They used to have this.
Yes.
They had a couple of high profile cases.
Yes.
That finally led to lawmakers making a change.
They really did. And actually, it was one of the prosecuting attorneys up there that had handled such a case as this where the child had died and really became an advocate to get the law changed. And they did about 9 years ago. I think it was 2011 when that law was changed. So in essence, they like other states in the United States, they rescinded that religious shield aspect of the law so that those people would have to be under the same accountability as the rest of us. Right. And that's what I've always argued is obviously I have my religious beliefs, you have your religious beliefs, and they do too. And I don't debate that whatsoever. It's the fact, though, I'm charged with protecting all of society, right? Whether it's man, woman, or child, I'm that's my job. And so what we've always contended that we have to be able to treat everyone equally under the rule of law, under the same rule of law in the state of Idaho. Oregon did see that, and they said, no, this is incorrect. We need to make sure that these children, like the chief said, are having the ability to a judge make a decision or someone outside of emotion make a decision. Does this child need medical attention? And if so, give it to them. And what the changes that we've seen in at least draft legislation this year is would say, if a reasonable person knows or should have known that that medical condition would permanently disable that child or cause death, serious injury or death, then they need to seek medical attention. That's a pretty benign law, in my opinion. It's addressing the issue, but it's not invasive into the religious society. At least that's my perspective on it.
What do you think is the biggest barrier to this law being changed here in our state?
I can speak to that, Chief. And I think we are known for a very conservative state, right? We are a very red state, and we are very protective of our beliefs, and whether it's gun laws or religious laws. And so the big argument that I've heard of the legislature for many years as well, we don't want to impose on someone's religious beliefs. That's becoming a more weaker argument all the time, because we are protecting all of society in this. But that's the number one thing you're going to hear, at least that I've heard, is that, well, you're invasive into my religious beliefs, and we don't want to trample on or suppress someone's religious beliefs. I think that only goes to a certain point, because then we have to look past beyond the religious belief and say, how do we protect all of society under the rule of law? And now, as I pointed out, even to the legislative body, if you are a person that says, well, I inject methamphetamine into my child because that's my religious belief, are we going to give that person an exemption? And people say, well, that can't happen. Oh, it does happen, and it can happen, and it will happen.
And you've probably seen it.
And I'll be careful what I say on that, but the fact is, where does it end?
Right.
So when they talk about a slippery slope, that is a very slippery slope. What is the protection we're giving, and why are we giving it? So again, I really want to underline that I'm not, and I'm sure the chief isn't either, we're not concerned about someone's religious beliefs other than we have to protect society as a whole.
Well, and it seems what you've been saying is that it is protecting all of society. Yep. And it is one thing when you are over the age of consent and you are 18 years old and you can make that choice at 18 years old to get medical attention. If you are a baby, if you are a toddler, if you are 5, 6, 7 years old, you can't take care of yourself.
You can't get it. I've heard people say, legislators even, well, if they want medical attention, they can go get it. First of all, you're going against the family unit. First of all, you're going to go against this indoctrination and your entire family, your entire group, and you're 8. How are you going to go find medical attention? And how are you going to do that? So that's an absurd argument, quite frankly. And then the fact that it's the neglect side, you know, neglect of certain issues within that religious sect, then that causes detrimental problems for those children down the road, whether it's from a medical standpoint or other ways too, where law enforcement has been written up as this harbinger of bad things. Well, we're not. We're there to protect you, right? We're to protect all society. So I think there's even more beyond the medical side that this actually will help address. We've seen that in Oregon. When you talk to the folks in Oregon, you've seen that the followers, the groups that have been charged, the individuals that have been charged, that are being charged presently or currently, they're very interactive now with law enforcement and saying, look, that's the law. We're going to follow the law. We don't want to be prosecuted, and I don't want them prosecuted either. I don't want to have that need of prosecution. I just want to protect the children.
And I think it's very fair to say that when we look at these religious sects, and in particular here in Idaho, the followers of Christ, these parents want to do right by their children. They want them to get better. They believe that prayer is what could make them better. So that is also something that you're dealing with, is that these are not bad people.
I've said that for years. I know a lot of these people, right? And I've sat down and talked to them. these are not bad people. These are not people who that we normally face in law enforcement who actively go out and commit criminality, right? That's not who we're talking about here. They work hard for their living. They provide for their families. They truly believe they're doing the best that they can by their God for their religious belief and their faith by their children. However, there is that turning point where God, in my opinion, right, God gives us the ability to have knowledge, and our knowledge says we can address these issues like food poisoning. We can address food poisoning. We can address a fever.
Because these are some of the things that these children
they die from.
Have died from.
Yes, absolutely. Right here in this county, in Ada County, food poisoning.
And that is shocking. So the two of you will be part of a panel coming up on Thursday at the Lincoln Auditorium at the State House. Talk to us a little bit about what you're hoping to bring to light with this panel discussion.
Well, I hope we create an awareness. This is an important issue. Listen, this is our civil liberties are important to all of us, and they're important to this group as well. But, you know, what we have to balance is what are parental rights as we live in the year 2020? How do we balance that with a life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness for these children? And I'm mainly concerned about the life. And then, above all, what's the appropriate government intrusion in this? And we hope to get this before the legislature this year to have those conversations. It's an important issue, but it's one that shouldn't be left to police officers or deputy sheriffs at 2:30 in the morning to make the decision. We need that type of guidance from our elected leaders.
I want to thank both of you for coming in today and talking about this. That panel discussion will be happening on Thursday at the Lincoln Auditorium at the State House. I've been speaking with Boise Chief of Police Mike Masterson and Kenny County Sheriff Karen Donahue. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
This is Idaho Matters. I'm Chema Gaudette. This is the Idaho Matters podcast. I'm Gemma Gaudette.